That music means it's time to talk to the voice of the Nebraska Cornhuskers, Greg Sharp, joining us here today on this Friday, as it has been a crazy week in Nebraska, kind of the epicenter of some talk across the country in regards to the Big Ten situation. Of course, all that breaking on Monday, the Big Ten and the Pac-12 canceling their fall football and moving it to the spring. And just like anything else that has been going on recently, Greg, we've been talking about this a lot with people, is it was only 5 months ago when the world kind of changed with sports being affected with the Oklahoma City Thunder game that particular night on March the 13th, I believe it was. It seems like it's been 2 or 3 years. And likewise, in regards to these decisions by the Big Ten and the Pac-12, it was actually earlier this week, but it feels like it was a few weeks ago.
Yeah, it's amazing how time can fly and yet seem like it's going at a snail's pace, but that's really what the last 5 months have been like, I think, for a lot of sports fans. And, boy, you know, you're right. When the world kind of stopped spinning in March, those of us who love college football were certainly hopeful that, you know, in 5 months, 6 months' time, that you could make it safe enough to play. Obviously, the Big Ten didn't agree with that, doesn't feel like it's safe enough to do that. Maybe not enough testing, all those type of things to go. So it was a disappointing week for Cornhusker fans to hear that the conference was not going to give it a go in the fall. And I think we're all anxious to see how the Big 12, the SEC, and the ACC, whether they can pull this off in the coming months. It has been and will continue to be a fascinating story.
What was your initial reaction to the Big Ten's decision this week?
Not surprised. I think when they made the move back in July to just go conference only, you kind of saw that you could read the tea leaves that this is the direction they were heading. Now, I think they threw us all a curve when they put out the schedule just last Wednesday when they had a big production on their television network and talked to coaches and administrators and bragged about how flexible the schedule is with built-in bye weeks and that kind of thing. And you're like, well, okay, well, maybe the attitude has changed. And then, boy, just 3 days later, that the school's got the notice you cannot go to full pads on your third practice, which is what the NCAA rules allow. And at that point, and that was last Saturday, I think all of us who have been following it were like, yeah, that's it. It's going to come to an end. And you know, Nebraska, the situation for Nebraska, Wade, is different than a lot of the schools
in
the conference, who their areas have certainly been hit really hard by this nasty virus. And here in Nebraska, it certainly has affected people, but I think in large part we've got it under control. And Nebraska felt like they really were doing a good job with their safety procedures and, you know, schools back on. In fact, I moved a daughter into a dorm yesterday here on the Nebraska campus. And so I think Nebraska officials were like, well, we think we can do this safely. And I think that's why they floated the balloon and explored the possibility of trying to play some non-conference games here in the fall. That didn't fly very well in the Big Ten hierarchy, and I think that's why maybe the announcement of, no, we're not canceling the season, we're just postponing it until the spring, and if we do play anything in the spring, Nebraska, you're going to be expected to be a part of that.
Why do you think Nebraska is catching so much heat from the national media? I mean, when Scott Frost came out and said what he said, I loved it personally. I would love to meet Scott Frost. I think the world of the guy. I would run through a wall and play for him. I would love my kid to play for him. I just think he's refreshing. He's not afraid to say what he thinks. He's very articulate. And if people actually, this is what's really, I think, I don't want to get political, but this is what's wrong in our country, is we don't actually listen to what people say. And if you actually listen to what he said, he didn't say we're leaving the Big Ten, we want to go to the Big 12. Nothing like that was mentioned. He just wants to play. His players want to play. But here's the thing, you know, the national media gets critical about Scott Frost and the Huskers, and he never mentioned leaving for another conference per se, yet Iowa, Michigan, Penn State, Ohio State have all come out and said, we want to play too. Why do you think Nebraska has been the one that's been picked on?
That's the $64,000 question, and I don't have a good answer. I mean, you're right. At no point did Bill Moose, did any university official say, we're looking to leave the Big Ten. Huh. They said, we're looking to play football. We think we can do it safely. We'd like to play football. We'd like to try to recover some of the millions of dollars we're going to lose by not having a fall football season for our athletic department. We believe we can do it safely. And you're right. Those other schools also said, particularly Ohio State on two different occasions, we're exploring other options. And yet you have the Desmond Howards of the world just lowering the boom on Nebraska. Who are they to say they think they can do this? Well, as I pointed out to some people, Wade, You know, Lincoln, Nebraska, the three closest universities that play Division I football are Iowa State, Kansas, and Kansas State, and they're all right now playing.
Yes.
And that's who Nebraska recruits against on a daily basis. And so all of a sudden, if you're not playing and they are, that's going to make your job and the future of your program even more difficult. It was really interesting. It was uncalled for. People, I think, took snippets of it. I think they might have even read a column from an Omaha columnist who kind of harkened back to the Big 12 days, and that's Tom Chattel. And I enjoyed Tom's column, but I think the media people took that as, well, that must be how Nebraska feels.
Uh-huh.
Scott Frost was adamant. No, we are a proud member of the Big Ten. We want to play the Big Ten schedule we were shown a week ago, but if that can't happen, we'd like to find some opportunities for our guys to play. So it's a really puzzling, and I'm probably talking around your question, but I don't have a good answer because I don't know that there is one to stand up for what those guys did to Nebraska the last 4 or 5 days.
Greg Sharp, the voice of Nebraska Cornhuskers, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. Interesting interview you had last night on Sports Nightly with Athletic Director Bill Moose, and did a great job, by the way, and really provided some insight into what's going on behind closed doors. Let's start with, to me, there's two big things I took out of it, and maybe there was others you took out of it as well. The first one I want to address was playing anyone else this fall really ever possible? And it sounds like it really wasn't.
I think they did explore it. I think that they sent out feelers to see if they could cobble together 5 or 6 games. But I think they were being given strong headwinds from the Big Ten offices that we don't authorize you doing that, and you would put your league membership in jeopardy. And that wasn't worth it for Nebraska. So I think that they kicked some tires, but I don't think it ever got overly real. And it's too bad. I think it would have been kind of fun to try to see what you could have put together for 5 or 6 games and try to get some home games in Lincoln. And like I mentioned, recoup a little bit of the finances that are going to go out the door here in the next 6 months for this athletic department. So kick some tires probably, but I thought it was a long, long, long shot from the get-go.
The second one, you just alluded to it there, and that, of course, is part of this whole equation in sports in general and society and the economy, and that is money. The financial impact of Nebraska without fall football and the numbers that that Bill Moose said yesterday are staggering.
$12 million for a home game for Nebraska to put the 90,000 in Memorial Stadium for tickets, concessions, selling programs, parking, all that. So times that by 7 home games that you're losing. And then the television revenue, which is a huge piece of the chunk. Bill Moose said, and back in June, at the end of June, Bill Moose implemented some cuts, 10% cuts across the board for every sport to cut their budget for the upcoming year. They eliminated 17 positions from the athletic department staff. He said basically that was to try to offset, at that point they thought might be $10 to $12 million in losses. Now it looks like it may be about $100 million in losses. So I can't imagine what they're going to have to do. I'm assuming you're going to see some elimination of sports. You're going to see some, obviously, elimination of staff members. I think it could be a deep cut, and it's not just going to be Nebraska. It's going to be every school in the Big Ten or the Pac-12 that aren't playing football right now. And those other three Power 5 conferences that are holding on, they're trying to avoid having to make those same type of decisions. But it is, as I mentioned to Bill Moose, it's a Mount Everest of a chore ahead of him and his staff to try to figure out how do you do this until the coffers open up again and you're starting to collect some revenue off of your sports. I wouldn't wish that on anybody, the decisions they're going to have to make in the next 3 to 4 months.
Me neither. And then, of course, just the economic impact, not only for the University of Nebraska, but for the city of Lincoln. He mentioned $300 million, and we were talking about this the other day, and this whole situation is a trickle-down effect. It affects everybody in one way or the other, whether it's me here at this radio station or you in your job, obviously, or Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffaloes, we had him on Wednesday, or the voice of the Oklahoma Sooners, Toby Rowland, yesterday. If you're going to at some point have to save money, you're going to have to, as you mentioned, cut some sports and cut opportunities for kids, obviously. You also have Title IX to deal with as well if you're going to cut back on whether it's football scholarships or whether you're going to eliminate a female sport. You're going to have to eliminate probably a male sport as well. And you're right. That is something that I would not want to have to decide, because no matter what you do, you are darned if you do and darned if you don't.
You're exactly right, and it does trickle to the guys you mentioned, and myself included. What's the status? If you know your main form of payment is calling games, yeah. and there aren't games to call, I mean, the company that I work for is certainly going to have to make some really difficult decisions in the coming months as well. Now, we're fortunate in Nebraska, we do have a show, and you referenced it earlier, and that's Sports Nightly, which is a daily show, which allows us to continue to kind of find at least availabilities for some commercials to be played and to do some of that. But that's kind of minor compared to a football broadcast Saturday for all of us. So it's scary. It can be overwhelming at times to think about this. The fallout, as I said, is just going to reverberate around the state of Nebraska to business owners, to athletic department officials, to student athletes, to people that have a hand in the program like my group. So I don't think I can even sit here and think of all the ways it's going to impact things. And for some people to sit back and say, and I even saw some national media Wade say this on Monday, what's the big deal? It's only 1 year.
Oh.
You take $100 million away from somebody just for 1 year, just because they may get that back next year.
Yeah.
They're not getting $200 million next year. They'll get the same $100 million next
yep.
year.
You'll never get it back. You'll never. It's just like selling airtime on the radio. Once that time's gone,
exactly.
you don't get it back.
Yep.
Is spring football logical? I asked this of Mark Johnson on Wednesday, and I'm interested in your viewpoint as well. Is spring football logical?
I don't think so. If our ultimate thing is the safety and well-being of the student athlete, how do you run these kids out in a sport like football uh-huh. to play six or eight games or whatever it is, and then turn around and go again next fall? I just don't think that's fair to them to do that. Now, desperate times that call for desperate measures, and maybe these athletic departments will push that envelope. But if the argument right now, and that's fine, if the argument is the wellness and safety of these student athletes, and that's why we can't proceed, I don't know how you do it in the spring, and then say, okay, we're going to come back and play in the fall. And I know Purdue's head coach Jeff Brohm came out with a pretty extensive plan. He put a lot of thought into it yesterday, calling for an 8-game spring schedule, starting, I think, the first Saturday of March and running into April. And he was limiting practice time and limiting practice and pad time to try to, help the wear and tear on the student athletes. And then coming back in the fall, but not starting in September, but starting in October, and limit that season to 10 games. Well, then you've affected two college football seasons
yeah.
in that way. And athletic departments who would certainly like to go back to their 7 home games next year, if you play 10, you're only going to get 5. So you're still chasing the tail a little bit by doing this. But I've talked to a lot of former players who all just think there's no way you can be able to do that. Urban Meyer has been on record saying no way that can work. So I don't know what the conditions on the ground are going to be. Nobody does know what it's going to be like in 5-6 months, whether we have the virus more under control or with the combination of the virus and the normal flu season. It could just be awful around here. I do think, Wade, certain sports can do it. I think volleyball can do it. I think soccer could do it. I mean, soccer players play year-round. So I think those sports could pull it off, going with a spring schedule and then coming back in the fall and having their normal schedule, because they don't have quite the wear and tear in their bodies that a football player does.
When you think of the typical college football season, a lot of teams are going to play 12, and you can play up to about 15 if you make it all the way to the national championship game. And based on that proposal that you mentioned by Coach Brohm, you're talking 18 games in a span of 9 months. I just don't see how that's even – I mean, you talk about the players trying to unify and talk about player safety and so forth, and you're stopping things because you say it's about health and player safety. And I don't agree with everything I see or hear on ESPN, and I actually try not to watch too much of it anymore, to be quite frank with you. But Reese Davis, I thought, I was actually surprised. He was very adamant talking about, listen, this is – are you kidding me? If you're going to talk about player health and safety, you're going to have a short spring season and a short fall season to even make it work. And Mark Johnson mentioned the other day, and I was thinking 7 in the spring and 7 in the fall. I don't know how you can possibly propose playing more than 14 or 15 games when you don't play more than that anyway in a regular season.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And also, I think the Big Ten is, and I don't know what the Pac-12 is going to do, but I think a lot of it depends on what happens this fall.
Yeah.
What happens with the Big 12, the SEC, and the ACC? If they pull this off mm-hmm. and get through their season and have a playoff, which the College Football Playoff Committee sounds like, if those guys finish their year, they're going to pick teams from those leagues and go. If they do that, then what are you playing for in the spring for a Big 12 athlete, a Big 10 athlete? What are you playing for? You can't get to a bowl game. These aren't going to be bowl games in May and April and June. And there's not going to be a college football playoff because they just played it in January. So what are you sacrificing your body for? Plus, if you're a senior, you probably would just as soon get your body and mind ready for the NFL draft and your professional career. So you're going to have an awful lot of guys jumping out and moving on. I know the eligibility thing is scaring coaches to death because everybody's going to get an extra year of eligibility. How big's your football roster going to be then?
Mm-hmm.
And then how do you pay for that? Because more scholarships is more money, and these athletic departments are broke. So it's a terrible, terrible situation. And going back to Scott Frostweight on Monday, I'm sorry, I'm kind of rambling here a little bit, but I'm fired up about this.
You're fine.
Scott Frost on Monday kept saying, I don't think we've talked enough about what happens if we do cancel. And he's exactly right. Some of these things, and you go, oh, well, what do we do with that? Nobody talked about that all for the last 6 weeks. It's all been about, well, I don't think we can do this. I don't think we can do this. So now we're going to have to deal with the repercussions of canceling a fall.
Well, and as you said, I mean, the best players are not going to play in the spring. I mean, that's we already seen some opt out already. So, I mean, kids are not, if they're a first, second, third round pick projected, they're not going to. And even maybe some other guys that maybe could improve their stock if they played in the spring, you got to quickly turn around. And the NFL draft, as it's scheduled now, is the end of April, early May. So whether the NFL is really going to work with college football or the Big Ten or the Pac-12 and say, yeah, sure, we'll move our schedule back a month to June. I don't know. The NFL is a pretty big entity, and I don't know if the NFL would do that or not. You brought up something very interesting, and I wanted to get to this later on, but I'm going to jump ahead. Here's what I keep hearing. Seismic shift. The plates are moving. These are words that we've heard the last couple days with our guest. I think the $64,000 question for me is, if the Big 12 and the SEC and the ACC, let's say in a few weeks, there's an outbreak, you know, when kids get back on campus and they don't end up playing, all this talk and all this stuff we've discussed, really everybody's back on the same playing level. But as you said, if the Big 12 and the SEC and the ACC can be successful and somehow finish a fall football season, I mean, how does that change the landscape with the Power 5 conferences, with the Big 10 and the Pac-12 sitting out?
I think it does. I think it totally does. And that's why I think if they're able to pull this off, it has to influence what the Big Ten and Pac-12 do for their spring. Because do you want to get off kilter from those other three again?
Mm-mm.
I mean, if you play and you go Jeff Brohm's thing and you start in October, you've just surrendered the month of September to those other three conferences, and they gobble up all the attention, all the energy of the start of a year while you guys are still recovering from your 6 or 8 games that were kind of meaningless that you played in the spring. It does completely shift it. I think what we've kind of, what this has pointed out in a lot of ways, Wade, is that college football needs a czar.
Yes.
They need a commissioner. They need one person to kind of make the call, because all these conferences have their own idiosyncrasies. They have their own wants. They have their own needs. So what's best for the SEC isn't necessarily good for the Pac-12 and vice versa. So the NCAA can't jump into it because they don't have any power for college football. They do for the other sports, but they don't for this. They just don't have any say. And so they've had to sit on the sidelines and watch this kind of messy situation unfold. Can we get to the point that the Power 5 conferences agree to hire somebody, some one guy, to be an overseer of it and make decisions that are the best interests of all five conferences? I think we need to get to that. I also think, when you mentioned seismic shift, I thought maybe you were going to talk about players.
Yeah.
Because I think we may start seeing more unionization talk within the players who are sitting back now, particularly the Big Ten, going, how come our voice wasn't heard?
Uh-huh.
How come we weren't asked whether we want to play? How come we're never considered when big decisions are made that affect us? And I think you're going to see more and more push on that in the next year to two with these players. And I know college administrators, it scares them to death to think about players getting more power.
Yep. Greg Sharp, the voice of the Huskers, is with us today on the Sports Ticket. What is your feeling in regards to the Big 12, SEC, and ACC being able to pull this off? Do you think, we talked about, is spring football logical? And everybody we had on the show this week, including yourself, and I agree with you guys, that it's not very logical at all. How realistic is it that the Big 12, the SEC, and ACC can actually go through a full fall college football season and get through this thing?
I don't know what if they've got the stomach for it. I think they can do it, but are they going to you get an outbreak of five or six players on a team and you're going to shut it down? Or are you going to kind of power through it, isolate those five or six, put them in quarantine, and fight your way through it, kind of like what we're seeing with Major League Baseball do with theirs? I mean, obviously the Cardinals situation has just been awful, but for the most part, Major League Baseball, and that was the biggest model closely aligning with college football, is that they're not in a bubble. They are flying around the country and playing in different ballparks, staying in different hotels, getting on planes and buses. So that's college football. Well, Major League Baseball is pulling it off right now. I think everybody was snickering when both the Marlins and the Cardinals had their setback, but the Marlins are back, playing pretty well, getting their guys back. Now the Cardinals sound like they may play this weekend. So if there's a stomach for it, I think those three leagues can do it. Now, if they get goosey and you get an outbreak of six or eight or ten players, and you go, we just can't do it, and you shut her down. I'm fascinated. If anybody says they know how it's going to turn out, they're lying. We don't. None of us know, but I can't wait to see how this unfolds.
All right, let's address the whole Big Ten, Big 12 thing for a moment, because I know a lot of people in our listening area are interested in this. As you mentioned, Tom Chattel had a column and basically said that the Big Ten and Nebraska just not a good fit. Hasn't been from the start. Others have said that as well. What's your feeling on that? Is the Big Ten a good fit for Nebraska?
I think it's been fine. Tom is kind of, if you follow Tom, he's kind of written that column before. He has a hankering for the Big 8, Big 12 days, and that's fine. I do too, to a certain extent. But Nebraska's been a member of that league for 10 years. They have certainly benefited from the fruits of the dollars that come to them from being a member institution for that. I don't know that I see that a major shift. I do think, you know, we're getting close. I think we're 2 to 3 years away from the next round of television negotiations for all these conferences. And I do think that there may be some more shifting that goes along. What I'd really like to see, and this is not Greg Sharp saying that Nebraska should lead the Big Ten. Let me say that up front. But what I'd like to see is more common sense use and go, let's kind of regionalize everything again. Let's make it make sense that our soccer teams maybe can bus to more locations, and our volleyball teams can bus to more locations, and our baseball teams, and even our basketball teams, instead of having to always get on charter flights and flying, can we make more sense of this thing? And I've always said, how cool would it be is if you kind of had took a pin to Lincoln, Nebraska, and drew a circle, and within 400 or 500 miles, say, that's going to be your conference. It's going to be Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, Iowa State, KU, K-State, Missouri. That's going to be a league. Now, that'd be fun. I think that'd be great to do that. And then go to the Texas schools and put a circle around that state and go, okay, you guys are all now, you're a conference. And get it back to an 8 or 10-team conference where you get to play everybody. Your travel is cheaper for all of your sports, so you're not spending as much money on that. To me, that would make an awful lot of sense. Don't think it'll happen, but that's kind of Greg Sharp's dream.
Well, I'd love to see it, too, because it doesn't make any sense that Rutgers is in the Big Ten, and it doesn't make a lot of sense West Virginia's in the Big 12. And for you have, you know, Rutgers had an outbreak. I mean, you can't tell me that wasn't a factor in thinking about this whole decision. And so that's what Dusty said. Our sports director here the other day made a great point. He goes, you know, geography doesn't matter anymore. We've known that with realignment. But in the case with COVID-19, it makes it even more difficult because, as you said, Nebraska seems to be handling things just fine. But Rutgers obviously isn't. And yet they're in your same conference. Yet they're way, way, way away. Whereas, you know, Iowa State, like you said, or Kansas State, you know, Oklahoma, they're still going to play. It is mind-boggling. And in a way, this whole realignment and going out and trying to get the big TV deals and getting as big as you can as a conference, in a way, has come back to bite conferences in regards to trying to play through this, right?
That's a great point. Absolutely. It's a great point. I mean, how silly it is that West Virginia flies to Lubbock, Texas to play games.
Yes.
I mean, it's just crazy. Rutgers flying to Lincoln, Nebraska to play games. We played at Maryland last fall in football, and Johnny Holiday is their longtime play-by-play guy. Johnny and I had a great conversation before the game, and I go, all right, all BS aside, how do Maryland fans feel about being in the Big Ten? And he goes, they hate it. They grew up in the ACC. They're rivals of the ACC. They work with other people who are in the ACC from other ACC schools. They want to go back. And I go, well, I think they should. I mean, they ought to be playing the Carolinas and the Dukes and the Virginias. That's who they've played for 100 years. It's we've kind of lost our mind, and you're right, now it's kind of come back to bite people a little bit. And these athletic departments moving forward, they're going to have to amortize this $100 million loss or $80 million loss, whatever it is, for over the next 5 to 7 years. And one way to do that is to limit travel.
Yes.
And so if you could go back to more of a regional system, I think that would make an awful lot of sense if you, instead of having to always fly your athletes to games and competitions, because you think for Nebraska, the closest school is Iowa City, which is a 4.5-hour bus ride. And some sports do bus over to there. The big sports don't. And then after that, it's 7 hours to Minneapolis. Those are the two closest ones. And so it's kind of ironic that the realignment now has come back to kind of cause a problem during this pandemic.
It's interesting you say, you know, Maryland and with the relationships they have, and they should be in the ACC. I want to play this for you. Like, I had this all ready to go. I want you to know that you have support down this way, Nebraska. This is Toby Rowland, the voice of the Sooners, yesterday when I asked him about you guys.
Nebraska should be in the Big 12.
Yeah.
I mean, they should be. They should be playing Oklahoma every year. They should have a recruiting foothold in Texas. I think they're more likely to be a national power if they're in the Big 12 conference, and hopefully that can happen.
So we got, I mean, you're certainly saying Maryland should be in ACC. I agree with you, and I agree with that with Toby. We would love to see you back in the Big 12. I know that it seems that Nebraska's committed to the Big 10, but you certainly have heard that before as well, haven't you?
Sure have, and you know, obviously, being a person that grew up in the region, I miss it as well. I just know that, you know, you read the tea leaves, you talk to the university officials, and I just don't see that happening. A lot of it would just be you don't want to admit maybe you made a mistake 10 years ago. And I'm not saying Nebraska made a mistake.
Right.
I'm saying that, you know, it was at the time you didn't know if the Big 12 was going to survive. There were all kinds of rumors Texas was going to break off, go to the Pac-12. Nebraska made a decision at that time that was very, very logical and made a lot of sense. But, again, I think that there could be another realignment-type shift coming in the next 5 to 6 years with all these television deals rolling over. And those television deals may look different, Wade, because, you know, ESPN's losing a lot of money. They may not have the kind of money. A lot of people are cord-cutting, getting their – ESPNs aren't able to recoup their money from the cable systems like they have been in the past, because the cable systems don't have the number of subscribers. People have gone more to YouTube TV and that type of thing. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. It's what is fascinating about college sports is it's never set in stone, and things always do tend to change.
How does Nebraska and the football program proceed from here with the possibility of playing spring football?
Yeah, good question. And here's another thing that makes all this whole week ludicrous is that they're still allowed the 20-hour work week. You can still go and
that's messed
you can
up.
practice without pads. You can be around your coaches. You can do, but to what end? I mean, how do you motivate players to go, yeah, we're working toward what? Maybe spring? So I don't know. I think they've taken a few days off to kind of clear their head, let some emotion wear off, and then maybe get back at it. And what sense does that make, Wade, that you can still do all those things, but you can't play the games? It's just there's so much of this that's head-scratching.
Well, that doesn't make sense. And then also, and I saw this on Twitter today, and your good friend Stan Weber threw this out there, the Big Ten's allowing workouts and practices, but they don't want to play ball games. They're talking about player health, heart conditions, but if you're still having workouts and practices, aren't you still vulnerable to that?
That's exactly right. I also saw a story of Michigan State says they're good to go with their student intramurals. So we got intramurals going on campus. We got kids living in dorms.
Yeah.
But we're not going to let our teams compete on the athletic field. There's so many things that just make you go, ah.
Yeah, it's so frustrating.
At some point in time, normalcy will get back, I hope.
I like that. A little nugget for CC Music Factory there. Well done. last thing for you for the off-the-wall question. The impact of this, we talked about it, is far-reaching. But Nebraska has a terrific volleyball program, and I think you referred to that briefly there earlier. But we talked so much about football, but just in a nutshell, for our listeners out there, how this affects other sports besides football.
Yeah, the NCAA did come out and canceled all the fall championships, so volleyball, soccer, cross-country have been moved to the spring, although cross-country won't happen because spring is just the track and field season and all those athletes compete in track and field. So it's off to that, and it'll be interesting to see what they do. My guess is in the Big Ten they'll play conference matches only. It's a big volleyball is a moneymaker for Nebraska, but they're one of the few programs in the country where they make money off volleyball. So to most schools, it's a drain on their budget, and so they're not going to be real anxious to get back in the competitive field with athletes when they're losing money already to lose more money playing volleyball. But I think you will see a volleyball season maybe starting in February with hopefully an NCAA tournament at the end of that, maybe in May. The Final Four is supposed to be in Omaha in December. Omaha will keep that right if there is a championship in the spring. And you're right, Nebraska would have started the year probably in the top three in the country. Did not lose one player off their squad, so they should have been loaded. They will be loaded for bear whenever they get a chance to compete.
Greg Sharp, the voice of Nebraska Cornhuskers, our guest today on Sports Ticket. All right, time for the off-the-wall question, something light and fun during these stressful and frustrating times. Like I said, we had the voice of the Buffaloes, Mark Johnson, on for the Pac-12 perspective on Wednesday, and then Toby Rowland, the voice of the Sooners, yesterday with the Big 12 perspective, and, of course, you today with the Big 10 perspective and the Cornhusker perspective. And so I'm going to ask you the same question I asked them. It was our good news of the day on our show that we featured where there's assisted living complex, I forgot the state it's in, where they are having their residents for fun and raising money have put together this calendar thing. And what they do is the residents will dress up in the gear of some of their favorite movies, and they will take a picture of them in that garb, and it is a remake of the movie posters. You know, when a movie comes out, there's that movie poster hanging up in the theaters.
Yeah.
Okay, so there was one where it was Wayne and Garth, Wayne's World, which was hilarious. There was like an 85-year-old lady dressed up as Garth. I laughed. There's another one with two older gentlemen dressed up as the Blues Brothers. And so the question is, what movie poster would you be perfect for? Mark Johnson said on Wednesday, Tombstone, which if you know Mark, and I know you do, I'm sure most people would say, yeah, that makes sense. Toby Rowland said yesterday, he said, this will surprise you, Wade, but he says, it's Hoosiers. He grew up in Indiana, went to school in Indiana, could have been an extra for the movie Hoosiers, which he thinks is the greatest movie of all time, and he and his buddies decided not to go to be an extra. So he could have been an extra in what he calls the greatest movie of all time. So he said, that's easy. It would be Hoosiers that I'd be in the movie poster recreating. What about Greg Sharp? What movie poster would you be starring in?
That's a great question. One of the first things that popped into my mind was like a Risky Business. You know, with Tom Cruise, yes, and sliding down the stairs and singing that thing. I think that would be a lot of fun to be something like that. And certainly in this day and age, Risky Business is kind of the word of the week. So maybe Tom Cruise and let me slide through like that.
That sounds good. If we could all slide through life like him and be as cool as he was doing it, we would have something, wouldn't we?
We sure would.
Greg, thank you so much for your time. I certainly hope that you guys will have spring football, at least something, and I hope all this works out. We can get through this, and once again, I greatly appreciate you taking the time during a very busy week.
You bet, Wade. Thanks. Always enjoy it.
Take care. Greg Sharp, the voice of the Huskers, our guest today on the Sports Ticket.